reportedly warned military interrogators at the Guantanamo Bay Detention Center in Cuba that their aggressive methods were legally risky and probably ineffective. Those warnings, included in dozens of FBI memos acquired by the American Civil Liberties Union under the Federal Freedom of Information Act. Those documents also state that a senior officer, quote, blatantly misled his superiors at the Pentagon into thinking the FBI endorsed one interrogation plan that was later called abusive. The documents detail how agents on temporary assignment at the Center for Terrorism Suspects took their concerns to the prison's commander and to top FBI officials in Washington. The violence in Iraq is escalating. Iraqi State TV said the government imposed an extraordinary daylight curfew on Baghdad and the surrounding provinces today. That restriction followed the deaths of over 100 people following in the wake of yesterday's attack on a Shiite shrine. 47 bodies found northeast of Baghdad, apparently motorists stopped by gunmen and shot. A U.S. command spokesman says Iraq is not seeing civil war breaking out. Meanwhile, though, 7 U.S. soldiers have been killed in a pair of car bombings. Lawyers for an Al-Qaeda conspirator complaining bitterly about the jury pool for his sentencing trial. The lawyers who represent Zacharias Moussaoui told a judge in Alexandria, Virginia, the pool's being stacked with people who have connections with 9/11 victims. Prosecutors reacted, creating the sharp exchanges in 6 days of jury questioning. 3 potential jurors rejected over government protest. A total of 74 potential jurors have been qualified so far. This is Eric.
governments can dispense law and justice, but not love.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America. Thanks for joining us this evening. What Bush was saying there, we'll have the whole soundbite for you a little bit later in the program. What he was saying is governments can't love. Jesus, God. Okay. We have a bunch of items here that I think deserve a little attention. The first, of course, is the fact that 7 U.S. soldiers have been killed by roadside bombs in northern Iraq that we know about in the past 2 days. 3 were killed Wednesday when their vehicle struck a roadside bomb. And another 4 soldiers were killed today because of a roadside bomb. This brought the number of U.S. military personnel killed in Iraq, according to Pentagon figures, which are a lie. But the official figures now, since the 2003 invasion, 2,289. And, of course, as I think most of us know, the actual number of American dead is probably 2 or 3 times that. The war. This is from Madison, Wisconsin, where we are going to be. When are we going to be in Madison?
You are going to be in Madison, Wisconsin on the 14th
of March?
Of March.
Okay. It was a kickoff for Herb Cole, Senator Herb Cole, his reelection campaign. Anti-war activists took over the lectern at this rally. It was at the Orpheum Theater Lobby in Madison. According to the Associated Press, about half a dozen members of the National Campaign for Nonviolent Resistance rushed the microphone and pressed their demands that Cole sign on to a bill by fellow Wisconsin Democratic Senator Russ Feingold requiring Bush to set a timetable for withdrawing troops from Iraq. And they demanded that Cole vote against this new $72 billion that is being stolen from the American public and handed to the Bush crime family and its cronies as it burns, rapes, bombs, and pillages Iraq. The audience in the theater didn't like the protesters and began chanting, "We want Herb." Supporters eventually got the pushed the protesters away from the microphone. See, this is the part I don't understand. I don't know anything about Herb Cole, the senator from Wisconsin. From what I can gather, he's probably a Democratic Leadership Conference Democrat. Obviously, he is not interested in ending the war. I mean, really stopping it. He's willing to continue to pour billions upon billions upon billions of dollars into Bush and his cronies' pockets. But what is more alarming, more disturbing, is the fact that Cole's supporters, when presented with people who are demanding that Cole act like a Democrat, act like an American who is tired of seeing the destruction going on in Iraq, when that happens, Cole's supporters shout down and silence the protesters. No, no, we want more Herb Cole. We want more death and destruction. We want more money going into the hands of the war profiteers like Dick Cheney. See, Karl Rove and the Republican Nazis who run this country now, when they see an event like this in Madison where, honest to God, anti-war protesters tried to make themselves heard, 6 or 7 of them, and the supporters of a Democrat that supports war shout them down, Rove and the rest of these Nazis in D.C. love it. They love it. They think it's great. Now, after everything calmed down, Herb Cole stood there and said he acknowledged what he called, quote, a fine group of people who have made their position known, end quote. But he said he would not sign the pledge. He would not sign the pledge. And that he would vote for more money for death and destruction. Well, what a shame. Irving Libby, you knew this was coming. His lawyers asked a judge today to throw out the case against him on the grounds that the prosecutor was appointed improperly. Now, remember when they decided, they being the Republicans, and of course the Democrats, after the bruising that Bill Clinton took, the Democrats went along with it, to do away with the office of the special prosecutor. If there were still a special prosecutor, what I'm about to tell you would not even be an issue. But if there's one thing the Republicans understand is how to clear the road ahead of them for more crime, and they fully understand that the Democrats will go along because the Democrats are not worth the powder to blow them to hell. So here's the deal. Lawyers for Irving Libby asked the judge today to throw out the case on the grounds that the prosecutor was not appointed properly. How would the prosecutor have been appointed properly? Well, let me show you how he wasn't appointed properly. Since both Attorney General Gonzalez and former Attorney General Ashcroft removed themselves from the investigation because of, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, their close ties to the White House, actually, their knowledge of the criminal activity going on in the White House, Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald reports to a career Justice Department lawyer named David Margolis. There was no one else to set up a chain of command for Fitzgerald. Now, lawyers for Irving Libby argue that because Fitzgerald does not report to the Attorney General, you see, because the Attorney General recused himself, that Fitzgerald should not have been appointed by a deputy at the Justice Department. Irving Libby's lawyers wrote, quote, because he was not appointed to that office by the president with the advice and consent of the Senate, he holds that authority improperly, end quote. Oh, I see. I see. The president is going to appoint someone, a fake president, a Nazi president, to investigate the Nazi activities of his Nazi vice president with the approval of the Nazi-controlled U.S. Senate. And since that didn't happen, Irving Libby's lawyers are demanding the case be thrown out. Jesus Christ. Oh, and by the way, in other filings in this case, Irving Libby's lawyers have argued that any inconsistencies in his testimony come from a faulty memory. Can I get you? No, I can't. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? I couldn't even make it 10 minutes into the program. I can't do it. Another case that is definitely worth commenting on, the Bush administration now says, this is according to today's Washington Post, or yesterday's Washington Post, Bush administration now says that journalists can be prosecuted under current espionage laws for receiving and publishing classified information. Now, you've got to stop and think that the Bush crime family classifies everything. A report on how much lead is in the water in the reservoirs around Seattle, Washington, that report is now classified. So if someone gets that report and gives it to a journalist for the Seattle Post Intelligence, the Seattle PI, that journalist can be tried or can be charged for espionage. Now, where does this case come from? Well, the Bush crime family is saying the reporter who has classified information can be charged with espionage. It comes from this case. It's in response to a motion filed last month seeking to dismiss charges against two guys, Stephen Rosen and Keith Wiseman. These are both former lobbyists for AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. Remember this case? Last August, these two men were accused of receiving classified information during conversations they had with government officials, one of whom warned Keith Wiseman that, quote, the information you're about to receive is highly classified agency stuff, end quote. That's according to the government's indictment. That official was Lawrence Franklin, who worked at the Pentagon. He recently pled guilty to violating the Espionage Act, not the Whistleblower Act, the Espionage Act. One argument made in these guys' motion was that the two pro-Israeli lobbyists, these two guys, Stephen Rosen and Keith Wiseman, were doing what reporters, think tank experts, and members of congressional staff do perhaps hundreds of times every day in receiving leaked classified information and passing it on to others. Well, there's a big difference, though, boys. You know what it is, don't you? Okay, I'll tell you when we come back.
Behaving right, I don't mean to bust your groove. Think it's time we made a move. Freedom isn't free tonight. Freedom isn't free tonight.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Americans.
Don't be afraid. Be very afraid. It's Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
22 past the hour. So the Bush crime family wants to be able to charge journalists under current espionage laws if those journalists receive and or publish classified information, keeping in mind that the Bush crime family is classifying everything. And as I mentioned, this comes from the case of the two men, Stephen Rosen and Keith Weissman, who were lobbyists for AIPAC, received some classified information from Lawrence Franklin, who has since pled guilty, to violating the Espionage Act. So these guys, in trying to get this thing to trial, but the Bush crime family, you know, they never miss an opportunity. As I said right before the break, this has nothing to do with whistleblowing. This has nothing to do with letting people know some criminal activity being perpetrated against some segment of American society by the Bush crime family. This has to do with espionage. That's what the case is. But the Bush crime family, you see, they see this case, they go, aha, someone gives you lemons, turn them into diamonds. This argument made by the defendants in their motion to have this dismissed, that they were doing nothing more than what reporters and think tank experts and members of congressional staffs do constantly, releasing or leaking information to the media. But this was Department of Defense information. You see, there's a huge difference. Weissman and Rosen, they were lobbyists. They're not journalists. And as such, they have no First Amendment rights to willfully disclose national defense information. Who does? Do you? Does somebody for the New York Times? Now, the weird part here, and this is where the genius of the Bush Nazis shows through. They want to criminalize all information that's classified that goes to reporters because of this case. Stephen Aftergood, who is with the American Federation of the Federation of American Scientists, who first found this filing on a website, said, quote, "The idea that the government can penalize the receipt of proscribed or forbidden information and not just its unauthorized disclosure is one that characterizes authoritarian societies, not mature democracies." What he's saying is this is how totalitarianism works. This is how dictatorship works. This is how Nazism works. So the question comes up, can the Bush thugs not tell the difference between espionage and whistleblowing? Well, of course they can. But they're using this case to further criminalize the free flow of information. You see how this works? You see how this works? And to Rosen and Weissman, you bastards, whatever you were involved in, I hope your asses go to jail. But look what you have done. Look what you have done. You've opened the door for the Bush crime family to assert even more fascism. Jesus. Email from David in Boca Raton. He says, "Hi, Mike. Always love listening to your show. You had a caller last night who claimed that he worked for NASA during 9/11 and watched the first plane crash into the tower. I have no idea if that footage was caught on video or not, but I thought it was very telling that he was convinced the photographer was from the Israeli Mossad. He even repeated this claim two times as if it were the most important fact. First of all, I really wish you would have called him on it and asked him how he knew this. To your credit, you did question him on everything else, which he then proceeded to give a lot of generic gibberish about CIA, NASA connections. But I can't imagine that the caption on his TV monitor at the time said, 'Video credits, Israeli Mossad.' There are a lot of people who would really like to place full blame on Israel for 9/11, and I'm convinced he is one of them. Our government is quite capable of effing things up without the need of the Israeli Mossad. Thank you very much." Okay, you know, I thought last night when the guy made the statement, I thought, all right, I ought to say something like, "Why are you saying Israeli? Why are you saying Mossad?" But I didn't let it go, and I thought, well, let's see if this gets through. Let's just see if a reference to the Israeli Mossad gets through. Nope. Never does. Now, I've got a tough one for you. I have a question. I don't usually present questions on this program, but I want to present a question, okay? And it has to do with the slanders of the Prophet Muhammad and the Islamic religion that have recently occurred, starting with a right-wing neo-Nazi Dutch newspaper, and then picked up as a show of solidarity by other European newspapers. The cartoons, so-called, were reprinted. So far, how many people have died now in the ensuing religious riots? A couple of hundred? In certain parts of where is it? It's not Lebanon, is it? Syria? Where is it? Where now? Nigeria, where Christians and Muslims are now killing each other over these goddamn cartoons. It's an outrage. In the first place, religion proves once again to me the absolute asininity of religion, the poisonness of it, the ugliness of it, how it does nothing to further human development, in fact retards it. But I have a quiz coming up for you right after this break. Stick around.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Ever wonder who coined the phrase, "We eliminate the middleman"? Well, one thing's pretty certain. It wasn't the middleman. And how did they eliminate him? Something fishy there. But I digress. GEICO pioneered direct-to-consumer car insurance over 65 years ago, and they've been saving smart drivers money ever since. Give them a call, and you might ask them, what did they do with the middleman?
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO, 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
I'm concerned about my son Jesse's height. He's small for a 15-year-old.
Have you tried Height Max?
What's that?
Height Max is a new height-enhancing supplement that helps 12 to 25-year-olds maximize their growth potential. It's a patented blend of vitamins, herbs, and amino acids, and you don't need a prescription.
How do I order Height Max?
Call them direct at 1-877-GROW-TALL. There is a 30-day risk-free offer going on now.
Ah, that's easy. 1-877-GROW-TALL.
Or buy it on the web at heightmax.com.
Order today and grow taller with Height Max. Height Max is a subsidiary of Sunny Health Nutrition Technology.
There were dark days of tax preparation, my friends, where you had to run around, get forms, or go to a franchise tax store and pay through the nose. But those days are over. There's this thing called the Internet and this website called TurboTax.com. Now you don't go to your taxes. Your taxes come to you. TurboTax asks you simple questions and fills out all the right forms. It checks for errors and calculations are guaranteed accurate. Now that's what I call progress. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please.
Oh, boy. Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gellin'. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
truth seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, more of Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour. All right, you ready for the quiz? Oh, by the way, I said the cartoons appeared in Dutch newspaper. I meant Danish, of course. Denmark. Sorry to all the Dutch folk out there. How many of you have heard of David Irving, the British neo-Nazi historian? Right? Okay, a lot of people have. 20 years ago, when one of his books, I think it was Hitler's War. It was either that one or one of the other ones that that this guy wrote. He was on book tour. He came through Atlanta, and I had just started in radio. I didn't know him from Adam's Housecat, and I had him on. And we talked for about a half an hour, and it finally occurred to me that this guy was a full-blown Holocaust denier. And I wasn't quite sure how to handle the situation. I was new to radio, but... Anyway, David Irving's name has popped up for me several times. About 5-6 years ago, there was a case here in Atlanta. An Emory University professor named Deborah Lipstadt? Kathy? Was it Deborah? Yeah, I think it was Deborah Lipstadt. In 2000, David Irving sued her. She's a Holocaust scholar here at Emory University. He sued her for libel in a British court, and he lost. And in that case, the presiding judge wrote that Irving was, quote, an active Holocaust denier, anti-Semitic, and racist. In 1992, a judge in Germany fined him the equivalent of about $6,000 for publicly insisting the Nazi gas chambers at Auschwitz were a hoax. On and on and on. This guy is really an evil son of a bitch, as far as I'm concerned. I don't like him. He made a comment that the only thing black news commentators should talk about if they're going to be on a news program is crime reports. I mean, he really, really, really is an evil, evil man. Now, having said that, he pled guilty Monday to charges that, yeah, he denied the Holocaust. He was sentenced to 3 years in prison. After he finally conceded he was wrong to say there were no Nazi gas chambers at Auschwitz. Now, he had faced up to 10 years in prison. All of a sudden, the guy had his conversion on the road to Damascus or on the road to Vienna. And he said, okay, after all these years, 35, 40 years of denying the Holocaust, I changed my mind. He told the court after his trial opened in Vienna, quote, I made a mistake when I said there were no gas chambers at Auschwitz. He said, in no way do I deny the killing of millions of people by the Nazis. But he said he considered it ridiculous that he was standing trial for remarks that he made 17 years ago, what he was on trial for. And by the way, he had been in custody since he was arrested in November on charges from two speeches he gave in Austria in 1989, in which he was accused again of denying the Nazi extermination of 6 million Jews. So before the trial could really blow out completely, he pled guilty. And he's been sentenced to 3 years in prison. Now, what he pled guilty to was denying the Holocaust. You see, in Austria and Germany, there is a federal law that makes it a crime to publicly diminish, deny, or justify the Holocaust. It's laws on the books. Now, the question, you see, you know where I'm going with this, don't you? If it is illegal to the point of being fined and jailed for some jackass like David Irving to deny the Holocaust. Now, who believes that the Holocaust did not occur? Well, the president of Iran seems to. But other than that, the only people who deny the Holocaust are nutbags. Haven't we all agreed with that? 60 years, almost 70 years after this horror was unleashed in Europe? The entire world, any civilized country, non-civilized countries, understand what Hitler did. So you get some jackass like David Irving prancing around the planet saying the Holocaust never occurred. Ignore the bastard? Shoot him? I don't know what to do with him. But jail him? For making a claim that everyone knows is nonsense? Jail him? Jesus God, listen to me. It sounds like I'm defending David Irving. Oh, my God. But how can Irving, as much of a thug as he is. How can he be placed behind bars and the editors of newspapers can deliberately and provocatively depict the avatar of the Muslim faith as someone saying, hey, no more suicide bombings, we're out of virgins. Or depict Muhammad with his headgear in the shape of a bomb. I don't know. Is that not hypocrisy? I mean, isn't it? Isn't Europe, and it's the European Union now. It's not Denmark. It's not France. It's not Germany. It's not Holland. It's Europe. Wasn't it European newspapers who, after the Danish paper deliberately, provocatively published what just didn't have to be done? But wasn't it European newspapers then who came to this right-wing Danish newspaper's defense under the rubric of freedom of the press, freedom of speech, freedom of speech, freedom of speech? And yet some ass like David Irving, who prances around the globe saying the Holocaust never occurred, this son of a bitch goes to prison for 3 years. Will somebody explain that to me, please? If you can. You see, it's not an issue of free speech. It's an issue of political correctness. It's an issue of whatever at any given time is deemed to be a proper or an ethical or a moral state or a legal statement. Isn't it? Now, does anybody want to get in on that? The phone number here, by the way, I've been accused of never giving out, 866-303-2270. I would like to get some comments on that. That's what I'm looking for right now. And I see the lines are full, and nobody has a comment about that. All right, I'm not sure what to do. Let me see if we can get our associate producer to check with some of you people on hold and see if you want to comment on this, because this is bugging the hell out of me. This really is bugging me. It's driving me crazy. You know, I think that when Hitler walked the... This is why I hate George Bush and the Bush crime family so much, because he has the potential. He has that banality of evil that Hannah Arendt commented on about where it concerned Eichmann. As far as I'm concerned, Hitler and the Nazi high command I believe in no religion, but were I to, these guys would be demons. So let's take it out of the theological and put it into the psychological. These were sick sons of bitches who poisoned humanity. They just poisoned humanity, the Nazis. And their extermination of people, I've said before on this program, you know, I probably lived the first 20 years of my life before I realized what had happened in Poland and Germany during World War II with these death camps. But after reading Treblinka and Knight and, how many books? And the horror of this. This is why it drives me insane when the Israelis bomb and strafe a Palestinian village, wiping out innocent people. This is why it kills me when the U.S. government, the U.S. military sends rockets and missiles and napalm and phosphorus into Fallujah. All of this murderous. We don't learn. We never learn. The never again slogan is a joke. It's a laugh. It's ridiculous. What do you mean never again? It happens every day. Every single day. Slaughter, butchery of innocent people. It's a matter of degrees. What was the quote Hitler said, or somebody, or Stalin, somebody said, you kill one person, it's murder, you kill a million, and what's the rest of it? I forget. Somebody will send it to me. But I can't reconcile the attitude of the European press and even the pissants over here at Fox News Corporation, which is 5% owned by a member of the Saudi royal family now, News Corporation, has got 5% ownership. And still on Fox News with these half-humans like Sean Hannity, These little pinch-faced bastards who just keep it up. Just keep egging it on, egging it on. What if somebody walked into Fox News and started screaming about Jews, screaming anti-Semitism, or denying the Holocaust? What would happen? You see, what would happen to Hannity if somebody sat on his program and said, you know, Sean, the Holocaust never occurred. That's a Jewish lie. What would the little rat bastard do, Sean Hannity? And yet he will sit there and make light of the attack on Islam. And it was an attack on Islam. Don't kid yourself for a second. The Northern Europeans are sick of these people, these immigrants coming from North Africa and South Asia and the Middle East, coming into their countries and saying to the white governments and the white culture and the white society. And I'm not saying they're wrong or right. I you know, it's their culture, their society. Do what they want. But when these immigrants come in and say, not assimilate, we're going to doing everything that we can to make you acknowledge us. We're going to go after your education system. We're going to go after your system of religion in this country. No wonder the Northern Europeans are getting pissed off. But you see how this just keeps going and going and going and going and going and going.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's Massaging Gel Insoles. More cushioning, totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
I'm concerned about my son Jesse's height. He's small for a 15-year-old.
Have you tried Height Max?
What's that?
Height Max is a new height-enhancing supplement that helps 12 to 25-year-olds maximize their growth potential. It's a patented blend of vitamins, herbs, and amino acids, and you don't need a prescription.
How do I order Height Max?
Call them direct at 1-877-GROW-TALL. There is a 30-day risk-free offer going on now.
Ah, that's easy. 1-877-GROW-TALL.
Or buy it on the web at heightmax.com.
Order today and grow taller with Height Max. Height Max is a subsidiary of Sunny Health Nutrition Technology.
We'll be right back.
Flying Monkey Rice Blues. Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. Couple emails here. Eugenia writes in, Mike, it's too late for me to think, but it's possible that sending Irving to prison is some kind of anti-Semitic provocation provoking exactly comments like yours. Jesus Christ. Let's see what else. This is from Lauren. Hi, Mike. The Holocaust did occur, and religious figures are superstitious myths. The cartoons were stupid, but they were just cartoons. Offensive to be sure, but only serious because the nature of the superstition they were mocking demands overblown reactions. Other religions tolerate cartoons and mocking. It is only because Islam, in its superstitious teachings, demands that other people respect them in the way they, the Islamic people, deem fit, that makes this any sort of a big deal. My atheism demands that I don't really care if other people's myths are made fun of. The truth, however, deserves respect. What else? Well, this is from Stephen. Mike, I think what you're talking about is a very difficult issue of hate speech. I was trying to explain the other day what being a hardcore civil libertarian is all about. If you believe in free speech, absolutely, then anything goes. However, this is an issue much like free trade. This is something which most everybody supports, in theory, until it's one's personal interest that is threatened. If racial epithets or characterizations are used over and over as a propaganda weapon in order to create an other, then there's temptation, much like economic dumping, to make a special case. This indeed depends on the political climate of the time and exactly whose interests are at issue. Easier, I think, to be an absolutist, but then I am not in government. The Stalin quote was... No, that was not the Stalin quote. That's not the one I want. And what was this one? This is from Ward in Japan. He writes, Mike, those cartoons smell like a deliberate effort to incite violence, much as the French riots were, in order to polarize world opinion against Muslims, and in particular certain Muslim states with which the U.S. will be attacking in a month or so. The day after Syrian riots, Condoleezza Rice was out there pointing the finger at Syria as having incited the violence. The newspapers involved must have profited handsomely in the process. Let's do some phone calls very quickly here. Then Paul is calling from Michigan. Paul, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, Mike.
Hey.
First of all, real quick, I want to say I do hate George Bush with every fiber of my existence.
Yeah.
And one thing I'm getting annoyed too is when you hear certain talk show hosts come from the premise that, well, I do not hate George Bush, but I hate his policies. Well, you can't disconnect the two.
No, I don't think so.
And that's starting to annoy me because, so, but, but I want to get to real quick here, too, because this racism thing, the neocons have now redefined racism, meaning that if you understand that George Bush and his policies are going to do tremendous harm to this country and get a lot of people killed, now they're calling that you're a racist. They've totally redefined it now that if you understand that this man is the 21st century Hitler, he is completely. It's almost parallels of the World War II 1930s, and you got that little Oxycontin kid punk with his deadhead audience. They're already regurgitating this now. These deadhead people, they're already believing it, that anything this guy does is good for them.
Right.
And these guys are just, they're unbelievable. I mean, these people can't even think for themselves anymore, and they're a cancer on our lives because... These people, the Republican Party could not even win an election, honestly, anymore. The party would be wiped out with an honest election. But with the deadbolt systems we have now,
mm-hmm.
We can't even get an honest election anymore. And they couldn't even win anymore. The racism now is if you disagree with any policy of this presidency, now you're racist. This thing is just so totally off the charts now. It's these people. It's just I'm to the point now. I don't want to be near anybody that is a Republican.
Well, I understand, Paul. Let me move on. Thanks. Okay. I appreciate what you had to say. Jack is calling from Portland, Oregon. Jack, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
Mike, it's great to talk with you again, and I Would you rather me discuss a little about 9/11, or would you rather me to answer your question about why this law is actually existing in Austria?
I'd rather address the David Irving thing. I'm frankly, and this is going to sound like hell, but I'm just saturated with 9/11 tonight.
Yeah, that's okay.
All right.
And as far as
what I'm having a problem with, and I'm just curious if anyone else is, what appears to be a hypocritical stance on the part of Europeans. Now, I'm being very generalizing here to a massive degree. This sentence was handed down in Austria. The laws are on the books in Austria and Germany, and probably rightly so, if one believes that free speech really isn't completely free. Now, my problem is, on the one hand, newspapers in Europe can publish extremely offensive cartoons, invoke riots globally, and I think they knew this would happen, given the volatility of the world situation right now between Christians and Muslims, or between Jews and Muslims. The newspapers can do this and hide behind the wall of free speech. When David Irving, who I think is a complete bastard, when David Irving does something like that, he's jailed. Now hold on, because we got to take a break. I'll come back to you after this break. This is Air America.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
On Tuesday, the Supreme Court passed up a chance to decide if college administrators can censor campus newspapers. After students at Governor State University in Illinois published unflattering stories about various academic departments, Dean Patricia Carter blocked the paper's printing and demanded that further stories be reviewed by her first. The Seventh Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals then stated that, as a private university which owned the press, GSU had every right to do this. I'm hoping that most administrators are a bit more mature and farsighted than Dean Carter, but I fear that this news may embolden more deans to censor student work that they find objectionable. A free campus press is a vital element of the undergraduate experience, especially for would-be journalists. It's one thing for the faculty to censor high school papers, but this is a college campus. Nonetheless, the lesson is clear. Watch out, college students. Big Dean is watching you. I'm Sam Graham Felsen for Air America Radio. For more, check out thenation.com.
Know the greatest phrase ever invented in shopping? No, it's not, I'll just wait in the car. The greatest phrase is, no thanks, I'm just looking. I mean, what freedom, what liberation. What a great way to buy car insurance. In fact, why not do some looking right now? Go to geico.com. It's quick, it's easy, and you could save hundreds. You know, saving money looks good on you. geico.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
No matter what you do, work can be stressful. And all that stress might cause you to grind your teeth at night. So why not go out and buy yourself a doctor's night guard, the dental protector you wear at night to cushion and save your teeth and put all that grinding to a stop. Just like that. Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard in the oral care section.
Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. The Bush administration is signaling it may be open to a delay in the sale of operations at those major U.S. ports. Deputy Chief of Staff Karl Rove says the White House understands that Congress needs time to get, quote, fully briefed on the deal. And Rove says it's important lawmakers gain what he called a level of comfort. Congressional leaders of both parties have been outraged about the plans to sell management of six U.S. ports to a company owned by the United Arab Emirates. They say the deal threatens U.S. security. George Bush today said Americans don't need to worry about that, since security will still be the job of the U.S. Coast Guard. Rove's remarks came after one Democratic senator accused the Bush administration of violating the law in approving the deal. Michigan's Carl Levin says a 45-day investigation is required for any sale that could affect national security. Lawyers for Dick Cheney's former top aide contend the special prosecutor in the CIA leak case didn't have the authority to bring the charges. The attorneys want a federal judge to throw out the indictment against Lewis Scooter Libby. They say special counsel Patrick Fitzgerald's appointment was unconstitutional because he was not picked by the president and confirmed by the Senate. Defense attorneys also say Fitzgerald's investigation was illegal because it wasn't supervised by the attorney general. Fitzgerald was appointed in 2003 when former Attorney General John Ashcroft took himself out of the investigation because of his close relationship with the White House. In Ashcroft's place, a deputy attorney general chose Fitzgerald. Saddam Hussein's lawyers may be allowed to meet with the former Iraqi president Sunday for the first time in almost a month. Ramsey Clark, former U.S. attorney general, told reporters the court had refused to allow visits since late January when a new chief judge took over. Clark said the Sunday meeting, though, had not been confirmed by the court. The U.S. military denies Iraq is descending into civil war. Major General Rick Lynch says the U.S. command is not seeing civil war igniting in Iraq, but sectarian violence has killed at least 114 people since two bombs hit a renowned Shiite mosque yesterday. Gunmen have killed dozens of civilians and dumped their bodies. The Pentagon, meantime, reported the deaths of seven U.S. soldiers in roadside bombings. U.S. military units were ordered to stop all but essential travel. This is Air America Radio News.
It's about 7 past the hour. By the way, the quote was from Stalin, a single death is a tragedy, a million deaths is a statistic. Thanks to everybody who emailed that in. Now, who were we chatting with here? Jack. Portland. All right, Jack, where were we? I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. To preface, what I would like to say about it real quickly is the sayings that you can believe half of what you see and none of what you hear, and it applies more and more these days. There is an abundance of illusion out there relative to where reality should be as to where it's been manipulated to be.
I certainly agree with that, but the point that I want you to get to, if you don't mind, is how is there justification for jailing a moron like David Irving because he doesn't believe the Holocaust occurred, and yet it's okay for European newspapers to blaspheme somebody's religion?
Yes, the people who subscribe to this idea that the Holocaust never even happened, or happened on a very tiny scale, though it was never really a Holocaust, they know better than this. They're pushing this idea in order to clean up the Nazi image and perhaps find a place in the power structure of the world and work their way from there again. But they can't even get to the first rung of the ladder of ascension to power without being able to clean up the image of the Holocaust, because the Holocaust condemns them for eternity. Why they made this law, Mike, I think they made this law for several reasons, perhaps three reasons or more, because it covers a lot of territory. And when things cover a lot of territory, they work on different levels of society. And when it comes to laws, I think they're thought out objectively ahead of time in order to achieve a certain effect as far as prevention ideally prevention of any unpleasantry fostered onto society that would not be just and fair, that would not be civil. And when it comes to this, I think that the main reason that they actually incorporated this law into the, and it's in Austria, and I imagine it was became a law shortly after World War II, I'm assuming that because I don't know those details of it, but that it actually is there to take an issue that would be as flammable on a social level as two groups, those who deny the Holocaust and those who accept the Holocaust, divide into the two camps. And it's such an issue. It's the, in modern history, it's the greatest evil event that's ever occurred.
Okay, all right.
And there's full documentary evidence of it.
Oh, yeah. Jack, let me I appreciate you, your comments. Let me move on, because this is... I've got more calls. I want this to be discussed here for a couple of minutes. And just coincidentally, over at TVNewsLies.org, Jesse has a blog there, and Jesse called in last night to this program. And he has written something. I guess he wrote it yesterday or today. And he's referring to the Irving case. He writes, so if you deny the Holocaust, you go to jail. But if you deny billions of years of evolution, it becomes required teaching in American schools. First off, Jesse writes, I want to make it clear that I am in no way, shape, or form denying the Holocaust. I am, however, pointing out the mind-blowing hypocrisy here. Someone tell me why we can deny any other historical event, including history itself. We can declare historical events without having any proof that they happened or existed, like the entire Bible and the existence of God. But if you dare question the events that took place during World War II, you go to jail? Something is very disturbing about this. Why is one form of outrageous claim permitted and the other punishable by imprisonment? At least, Jesse writes, we have the means to prove that the Holocaust took place. If someone does not believe it, then show him or her the proof. If they still don't believe it, then we should treat that person the same way that we treat people who see proof of stolen elections, government complicity in 9/11, evolution, secret societies, Satanist cabals, etc., yet they don't believe that proof. Why are Holocaust deniers the only people who have to believe the proof that is presented to them? Who set this special standard and why? Who are the people who decide which segments of the historical record must be accepted by the public? If the answers are so clear, why would someone who denies the Holocaust be such a threat to society that we have them imprisoned? Who would be so concerned about these deniers? I don't get it. What am I missing here? Jesse writes. And then he sums up by saying, if someone does not believe that you have a penny in your pocket, show him the penny. Problem solved. Don't arrest him for claiming that you don't have a penny. If it's okay for people to declare as truth that some penny fairy placed the penny in my pocket, it should be okay for someone else to claim that I don't have the penny. It is easier for me to educate the person who thinks I do not have the penny than it is for me to demand proof that a fairy gave me my penny. Can you say hypocrisy? Even better, can you say insanity? Think about it. Well, that's interesting that, that Jesse should have this on his blog. And I've decided to bring this up tonight because last week, or Monday, Friday or Monday, when David Irving, who I think is a real snake, I think he's an evil son of a bitch. I think he has done more to poison the minds of young people in Europe, too young to appreciate, if that's the right word, or to be horrified by the Holocaust and what happened in Europe. In two world wars, culminating with the extermination of millions upon millions upon millions of people, who at the time, I guess, had Bush been in control, would have referred to them as a fifth columnists or enemy combatants. You know, they were Jews, they were socialists, they were trade unionists. There were even some Catholics. There were some gypsies. There were Roma. There were some handicapped folk. All right? But the biggest victim, the gay folk, the biggest victim were the Jews, butchered by the millions. And it is an historical fact. And for some twit like David Irving to deny historical fact, to hell with him. To hell with him. But to jail him? While at the same time, the very societies that applaud his jailing, or at least the governments, I don't know about the societies. I'm sure there is still ample anti-Semitism in Middle Europe. I'm sure it still exists. But the very governments that applaud or acquiesce to or demand through the writing of laws a jailing of a David Irving are also the governments who say, hey, listen, pissing on Muhammad is free speech. That's what I can't get my mind around. And I just am curious. That's all. We're not talking about denial or acceptance of historical fact. Anyone who denies historical fact is an ass. We know that. What we're talking about is what appears to my little enclosed mind to be an enormous case of hypocrisy in Europe right now. That has resulted in the deaths of scores of people, rioting a further escalation of this unbelievable 12th century nonsense between Muslims and non-Muslims. Jesus, I just can't get over this. And again, I understand in the perversity of understanding why these homogeneous cultures in Northern Europe don't like dark-skinned others coming into their oh, it's fine as long as the Muslims come up and do the scut work. You know, yeah, it's just like Mexicans in this country. Okay, come on, you can come to our bakeries in Germany and our factories in France and our this over here and our that over there. But stay in your ghettos, stay in your hovels. And you can, but at the same time, get rid of your headdress, get rid of your scarves. Tell your women to stop acting like they lived in, Damascus. And when the new arrivals, when the immigrants don't do it, when they live in their fenced off societies, it becomes a threat, an even greater threat. So what happens? This xenophobic attitude that's developing. My God! So attack them. How do you attack them? Attack their religion. Go after their prophet. That'll fix things.
Hope and history won't rhyme. So what's it worth? This peace on earth, peace on earth.
on earth. Peace on earth.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
Tonight, how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. The bottom line for me here is it appears that in Europe today, in the 30-some nations that make up the European Union, is it 30-some nations? Mockery of one religion is acceptable. Mockery of an aspect of persecution against members of another religion requires prison. And both issues are religious issues. Let's not take it anywhere other than where it belongs. Both issues are religious. Anti-Semitism is anti-Jewish religion. Anti-Islam or anti-Muslim is anti that religion, period. I think I understand the rage that boils inside most Muslims, most of whom, is this not a statistic? Most of the people who are Muslim, who live in countries that are predominantly Muslim, are under a certain age, under the age of what, 25, 28? It's a very young population that has been told by their parents, this population, by their religious leaders, by their culture, that they cannot partake of modernism. In so many of these societies, the women are still treated as though they do not exist. If you take a look at of South Asia, or even in India, and it's not just Muslim families, but also Hindu, where rejection of a dowry can result in people dying, women dying. I mean, the whole thing to me is just sick and disgusting. All of it. I despise all religion. Every single religion I despise. But this is not about me. It was just a thought. Something that was really, really, really irritating me today. As much as I think David Irving is, was, always shall be, a freak. An absolute freak. And to use the vernacular, yes, he's a Holocaust denier. He's a dumb son of a bitch. I mean, what do you do with dumb sons of bitches? Do you lock them up? If that's the case, then why is the entire Bush crime family still wandering around free? You get my point. But this whole, every time you turn around, have you not noticed in the past 5 years, since September 11, 2001, every time you turn around now, it's become Islam on one side, non-Islam on the other. And I don't care how they spin it. This is incredibly dangerous stuff to be doing. And governments are sanctioning it. Buttons are being pushed specifically and deliberately. What the hell is going on? But to understand the rage and frustration of young Muslim people in these repressive societies that the United States has for the past 75 years supported militarily, take a look at the Middle East. Dear God in heaven, with the exception of Syria, and probably one time even Syria, there is not an Islamic state in the Middle East that we have not given money to, weaponry out the butt to. Saudi Arabia is one of the biggest purchasers of U.S. military hardware in the history of the United States. Every single country, Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Egypt, Jordan, on and on and on. These are countries that would collapse into absolute chaos, anarchy, and eventually revolution were it not for the fact that we support repressive dictatorial regimes in every single one of them at one time or another. But to take the situation that has been handed to us, because of this convergence of peak oil, energy sources are running out. You and I don't know that unless we go read the proper research on it. But they know it. The corporations, they understand. And by God, they will support Bush because he's a gibbering moron who will take us into war after war after war in order to protect those profits. It just so happens that the oil countries are also Islamic. The major oil countries are also Islamic countries. And it also happens that these are countries that are extremely totalitarian or authoritarian or oppressive. Religious totalitarian states, is there anything worse? But the provocation in these damnable cartoons, and then the jailing of David Irving. What the hell is going on? What has happened? What has happened? Yeah, what has happened?
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Our apologies, but in the interest of bettering the future of your teeth, we're going to resort to a rather unpleasant tactic. Coercion. We will play the sound of someone grinding their teeth at night until somebody out there buys a doctor's night guard. Wear it at night to cushion and save your teeth. Come on. Somebody? There. Thank you, Kelly Kaplan of Paramus, New Jersey, for buying a doctor's night guard and relieving the nightly grind in the oral care section.
Thanks a lot for the ride home.
Hey, no problem. Just because you're a sophomore doesn't mean I can't talk to you.
Thanks.
Hey, while you're here, want to take a hit of some weed? Some good stuff. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Honey?
Yeah?
Can you keep the kids busy? I'm doing our taxes.
Oh, that's right. We're using TurboTax this year.
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy. TurboTax asks these simple questions, and it automatically fills in all the right forms.
Really?
Uh-huh. TurboTax also checks for errors, and calculations are guaranteed accurate.
Well, what about deductions?
Found ones I didn't even think of.
Like those little tax deductions jumping on the sofa?
What?
The kids.
No, I remember them.
TurboTax. Taxes made easy. Taxes done right. Learn more at TurboTax.com or visit a retailer near you.
I'm concerned about my son Jesse's height. He's small for a 15-year-old.
Have you tried Height Max?
What's that?
Height Max is a new height-enhancing supplement that helps 12 to 25-year-olds maximize their growth potential. It's a patented blend of vitamins, herbs, and amino acids, and you don't need a prescription.
How do I order Height Max?
Call them direct at 1-877-GROW-TALL. There is a 30-day risk-free offer going on now.
Ah, that's easy. 1-877-GROW-TALL.
Or buy it on the web at heightmax.com.
Order today and grow taller with Height Max. Height Max is a subsidiary of Sunny Health Nutrition Technology.
love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
It's 26 before the hour. All right, I've got to get some of the... We've only got two or three sound bites here, and I want to get them in. If you're on hold, if you'll just be patient, we'll get to you, I promise, all right? Bush was out and about again today. The story out there now is that candidates for re-election of the Republican Party don't want this toxic waste dump near them. And, of course, Scott McClellan says that's not true at all. There's been just hundreds of requests for George W. Bush to show up and assist a candidate. Oh, okay. So here he is today at a fundraiser in Mishawaka, Indiana, for someone named Chris Chocola. Is that his name? Chris Chocola? Chris Chocolate? What is it? It looks like chocolate. Chocola. Chris Chocola or Chocola. Chocola. I don't know. For Congress. Just a little comic relief here. It's kind of amusing to hear the giggling killer talk about how government can't dispense love. Jesus. So there's a federal need for love. Where are the OBGYNs when you need them, right? Didn't he want to practice them to practice love of women all over the country or something? This guy is so sick. It would be funny except for the fact that he controls life and death over so many billions of people.
Chris and I understand that the role of government is limited in this fact that governments don't love. Governments can dispense law and justice, but not love. And therefore, one of the most important initiatives of my tenure as your president has been to promote the faith-based and community-based initiative. We ought to say to those who want to love a neighbor just like they'd like to be loved themselves, you should have equal access to federal money so long as you're helping to meet a federal need.
Ah, okay.
And we have a lot of need when it comes to saying to a brother or sister who's lost, I love you. What can I do to help you?
What the hell was that all about? Jesus loves you if you love somebody with money. No. That's not what he said. As long as you're helping to meet a federal need... A federal need? As long as you're helping to meet a federal need, you should be loved like loving... Well, all that talk about love, he says, we have a lot of need when it comes to saying to a brother or sister who's lost, I love you, what can I do to help you? I have an answer. Bush bastard, maybe euthanize you when you're in New Orleans in a hospital there, and Katrina hits, for example. How about that? Is that a kind of love? Where's the outrage, by the way, from Bill Frist and Tom DeLay and the rest of the Terry Schiavo cheering section on that issue? Just after Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans, there were rumors that at least one hospital had euthanized patients during the aftermath of that tragedy. Then there was in September, there was a doctor quoted in a UK newspaper who admitted that certain activities had taken place at Memorial Medical Center. A month later, another doctor at the hospital confirmed in a CNN interview that he suspected such activities and admitted he left the hospital rather than actively kill people who were left there. NPR now reports on its access to court documents in the case. What was it, last week? In a February 16th report on Morning Edition, NPR said it reviewed secret court documents relating to this investigation. The documents, according to NPR, quote, reveal chilling details about events at Memorial Hospital in the chaotic days following the storm, including hospital administrators who saw a doctor filling syringes with painkillers and heard plans to give patients lethal doses. The witnesses also heard staff discussing the agonizing decision to end patients' lives, end quote. Now, this revolves around a group of patients that were left on the seventh floor at a place in New Orleans, Memorial Medical Center. But that particular floor, I don't know how this works, but that floor was leased to a different entity, Life Care Hospitals. Life Care Hospitals. And according to NPR, the patients on that floor were all DNR patients, do not resuscitate. Now, Life Care is based in Plano, Texas. It's another Bush-supporting group of what do you want to call it? Fill in the blank. Ooh, boy, you people are terrible. What nasty language. The report also describes the conditions in the hospital, which had no power, no sewage removal facilities, human waste floating around inside there while there were patients there, temperatures approaching 100 degrees, looters attempting to smash into the hospital to get whatever drugs were left, And, hey, Brownie, you're doing a hell of a job, Brownie. The NPR report says, quote, according to statements given to an investigator in the Attorney General's office, LifeCare's pharmacy director, the director of physical medicine, and an assistant administrator said they were told that the evacuation plan for the seventh floor was to not leave any living patients behind and that a lethal dose would be administered to each, according to their statements in court documents. Son of a bitch! So the patients on the floor, run by the group based in Texas, were, surprise, surprise, executed. So where's Tom DeLay and Bill Frist? Where is an outrage? Where is it? A whole floor full of Terry Schiavos, excuse me, put down by folks from Texas. Where's your outrage, bug man? Where's your outrage, you fake-ass doctor in Tennessee, you family fraud freak? Aren't their lives sacred, too? God! And then Bush stands up there and talks about a culture of life. These evil sons of bitches. I mean, it is so bad. It is just so bad. There's one more. From Chris Chocolate for Congress fundraiser. Whatever the hell his name. I don't know what his name is. It looks like Chocolate. Chocola. One more bit of hilarity from Raisin Brain, who can't get in front of an audience these days without, stammering something about burning sawgrass and plugging in your car batteries because, you know, his administration is aggressive. They believe in things!
We've got an aggressive agenda. We believe in things. We're going to spend money wisely, your money wisely, on research and development so we can develop advanced new batteries so you can plug in your car at night and be able to drive 40 miles on electricity not using a drop of gasoline. Woo. We're going to continue to expand the use of ethanol. Woo. It makes sense, by the way, to use research and development, your dollars for research and development to figure out ways to burn corn and wood chips and sawgrass.
Sounds like Bush has been sparking up the sawgrass already. We're going to burn corn! We're going to shovel corn into your little afterburner there. We're going to burn corn and wood chips, by God! On the other hand, this he stands here and says this to people, right? But Bush's new budget guts programs designed to increase energy and efficiency in buildings, appliances, vehicles, as in burning corn chips and wood flakes and linoleum tiles and used Pampers. Congress authorized $1.8 billion for key energy programs in last year's energy bill. What has Bush done? Cut it in half. Cut 70% of it out. I'm sorry, 65% of it gone. Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid, yeah, he's a Democrat, issued a statement a day before yesterday saying Bush's rhetoric on energy does not match the reality of the proposed cuts in programs. That statement really caught fire, didn't it, Harry? Oh, God, aren't we all talking about that today? Harry said Bush's energy bill, quote, makes an unprecedented commitment to energy conservation and efficiency. He said when Bush said that, he was lying. Well, no, he didn't even say lying. What he said was it didn't match reality. Harry, why don't you call the son of a bitch a liar? I'm sorry, I forgot. You're a Democrat. Never mind. You want Bush to scratch your tummy when he comes into the Senate and House chambers for a State of the Union. You want to get your face right up in his and lick him and kiss him and suck on him, don't you? Huh? Don't you, Harry? And then, you know, pull your shirt out and your jacket open and show him your bare belly so he can tickle you. Jackass. Ah, but we're going to burn corn. Wood chips. All right, last one. We got time for this one? Okay, you can stretch a little bit. Now, before burning the grass at that GOP fundraiser in Indiana, Manner Monkey had this to say in an early morning cabinet meeting this morning in response to a reporter's question about the sale of U.S. ports. Reporter said, "Sir, do you wish you had known earlier about the Dubai ports deal, and were you surprised by the controversy over it?"
The management of some ports, which heretofore has been managed by a foreign company, will be managed by another company from a foreign land.
Ooh.
And so people don't need to worry about security. This deal wouldn't go forward if we were concerned about the security for the United States of America.
Well, that's true.
What I find interesting is that it's okay for a British company to manage some ports, but not okay for a company from a country that is also a valuable ally in the long term.
Isn't that amazing?
The UAE has been a valuable partner
for my dad
in fighting the war on terror.
He's made my dad a lot of money.
I also want to remind folks that it's really important we not send mixed messages to friends and allies around the world as we combine put together a coalition to fight this war on terror.
Oh, yeah, let's not send mixed messages. Oh, hell no, let's not do that, huh? Chuckle nuts, you outdid yourself with that one. What did he say? Management of some ports, which heretofore had been managed by a foreign company, will be managed by another company from a foreign land. Yeah. All foreign countries are the same to chuckle nuts. What's the difference, right? The Gulf Coast of the United States is a foreign country to this jackass. That part of the world, he kept calling it. Huh? He says this deal wouldn't go forward if we were concerned about the security of the United States of America. Well, no kidding! You couldn't care less about the security of the United States of America, you traitor. You just want everyone who voted for you to think you care. Joke's on them, right, chuckle nuts?
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor, now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. An Avacor Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and find out how you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order. Call 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-301-1420. That's 1-800-301-1420.
many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across this country.
Unbelievable, isn't it? All right, it's about 9 before the hour. One last thing about the Bush's comments about using the company from Dubai, from United Arab Emirates, Dubai Ports World, or DP World as it's called. North Carolina Senator Elizabeth Dole's husband, Bob Dole, former senator, presidential candidate, has been hired by DP World to help get the company through the maze in Washington and the American press corps, so that this almost $7 billion deal to control terminals at six U.S. ports can go through. Now, this is kind of odd because in a letter to Senator John Warner of Virginia, who's chairman of the Senate Armed Service Committee, of which Elizabeth Dole, Liddy, as she's known, and she's a member, she wrote a letter to John Warner. She said, quote, "I'm deeply concerned that the proposed transfer of seaport operations to a company controlled by the United Arab Emirates government might compromise our ability to effectively control our ports and harbors." End quote. Well, at the same time, her husband, you see, is a registered lobbyist, and he's among a team of lawyers at the law firm Alston Bird, which has been working for or with Dubai Ports World, which is owned by the UAE. Who is a senior partner at Alston Bird? That's right! The consigliere of the Bush crime family, James Baker. Okay, so I didn't pronounce it right. Consigliere. The consigliere. Well, you try to pronounce it. It's hard. It's like French-Italian. It's very difficult. James Baker, the capo di tutti capos in the Bush crime family. Well, all right, second, the one who engineered the theft of the 2000 election in Florida. James Baker, senior partner, Alston Bird, Bob Dole, all of these smarmy, swarmy, rat-eating bastards all congregate in the same places. You find one, you find them all. So all of these cabinet members, up to and including Chucklenuts himself, said, well, I didn't know anything about it. John Snow, Secretary of the Treasury, under whose control this whole thing is supposed to have happened. I didn't know anything about it. Rumsfeld, I didn't know anything about it. Bush, I didn't know anything about it. Maybe they didn't. On the other hand, why should they? This is how fascism works. This is how corporatism works. The deal is not made by George Bush or signed off on by Bush. It's made by people like James Baker and Bob Dole. Oh, by the way, a spokeswoman for Elizabeth Dole said the senator will not be swayed by her husband's work. Spokeswoman Lindsay Taylor Mabry said, well, you know, Senator Elizabeth Dole's decisions are made independent of Bob Dole, and her top priority always is the constituents she represents here in North Carolina. Right. It's just crazy. It's just insane. I don't know. Please, God, let me, please, God, that doesn't exist. Oh, no. Here he is, Brother Sky Blue from Memphis, Tennessee. Brother Sky, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
I heard you let Rachel Maddow do her show from your studio this morning.
I did, indeed. I did.
Yeah, that was great, man. Hey, I appreciate that show you did about the state government here in Tennessee and the 10th care the other night. Our Governor Phil Bredesen, yeah, he's done the best he can. Yeah, this 10 care went down the drain. You know, they're trying to start a race war down here. The TBI and the FBI, they had these stings, and they stung all of the Democratic local leaders down here for $200, giving them $200 to play the slot machines up to $7,000. But, you know, I was watching this Joyce Myers She's an evangelical. She's a leader on the Wendy's PBN now. She wears a different outfit every day, not like Mother Teresa. I don't know what she does with her used wardrobes. I wonder if she washes her underwear. You know, my mother.
I know you were about to say something about your mom, Brother Sky, but...
Too many OBGYNs out there just not able to wash their underwear.
I know. Isn't that the truth? Brother Sky, thanks for checking in. We did pretty good that time. We went about 36 seconds. Was it about 36? That's good. That's good. All right. Your phone calls when we come back. And also in the next hour, of course, our reading, we begin book 2, chapter 1, or if you keep track the other way, chapter 9 of George Orwell's 1984 tonight, so stick around for that. We'll be right back. Stay with us. If you're on hold, I'm going to get your phone call coming back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement, and now we're trying to develop a Silver Rights Movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at operationhope.org.
As the U.S. Senate probes the growing controversy over port security, the top White House advisor says President Bush is willing to accept a slight delay in a deal involving the United Arab Emirates. Karl Rove told the Fox News Channel that Bush would be okay with a small delay in allowing Dubai Ports World to take over the management of 6 U.S. ports. The company is owned by the government of the United Arab Emirates. Florida's governor is defending his brother's decision. Jeb Bush says the backlash is the result of misinformation.
I trust my brother. I think the administration has done a poor job of anticipating the natural concerns about this and to be able to give some facts. Once you hear the facts, it's not as egregious as it sounds.
Lawmakers from both major political parties are filing bills to prevent the deal, which is scheduled to take place next week. President Bush and Iraqi leaders are calling for calm as sectarian violence between Shiites and Sunnis escalates. More than 130 people have been killed across Iraq after a suspected al-Qaeda bombing of one of the holiest shrines in Shiite Islam. Bush noted that the attack was designed to cause civil strife. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, who is visiting the Middle East, called on Iraqis to band together to reject the violence. New Jersey Congressman Steve Rothman is calling for the pullout of troops amid the violence erupting across Iraq.
We can no longer rely on President Bush's leadership in Iraq. It is time to remove our troops from Iraq, to withdraw them within 6 months.
Rothman says the finger is getting pointed at U.S. troops while they are the ones preventing a near civil war in some areas. Heavy fog is being cited as a likely factor in Wednesday night's fatal small plane crash outside Fredericksburg, Virginia. Virginia State Police Sergeant F.L. Tyler says all four men on board were killed.
Based on the preliminary investigation, there were no survivors.
The plane took off from Winston-Salem, North Carolina, apparently after the four had seen a Wake Forest basketball game, and was originally set to land at a small airport in Fredericksburg. For the first time in a dozen years, average U.S. family income has dropped and net worth has barely moved between 2001 and 2004. That's the word from the Federal Reserve. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Thank you.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Noam Chomsky, Senate, Scott, Michigan Senate, to me, quote, if we don't believe in freedom of expression for people we despise, we don't believe in it at all, end quote. You know, Chomsky is very difficult for most people. Very difficult for most people to accept. All right, let's get to the phone calls here, as promised. Jerky is calling back. I haven't heard from Jerky for all of 3 or 4 days. This is quite an unusual event. You calling in twice in such a short period of time. He is our bureau chief at large. Hey, Jerky.
Hi, Mike. I try to space it out so I don't, monopolize time. I tend to ramble. So.
Well, we're always glad to hear from you. I mean, getting you and Brother Sky Blue on the same night. let me look outside. The last time something like that happened, a star appeared in the east. But anyway.
Well, listening to those quotes from Bush and the other guys there, I was beginning to wonder whether they've been dipping into that DMT drink that they just legalized in the Supreme Court just legalized for those religious groups down in the South America. Did you hear about that?
I have not. Now, what is this?
Well, I don't know the chemical name, but it's DMT. There's a religious group in the American Southwest who part of their religious ceremony involves drinking this tea brewed from...
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, which is very cool. I mean, if we're going to have a construct as ludicrous as religion, then how do we tell people? I mean, let's look at it this way. Catholics actually, when they do communion, they actually believe that something magical happens, and this little unleavened bread wafers and this Mogan David is turned into dead flesh and rancid blood. I mean, if you can have something like transubstantiation,
yep,
that billions of people, or at least hundreds of millions around the planet, believe actually occurs, then certainly we can allow our little brown brothers down in Southwest United States to have their visions too, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But you see, it takes a Supreme Court ruling for our little brown brothers. Can you imagine a Catholic petitioning the court to allow them to insist that what's going on here is actual blood? Don't they have a word for that? I think it's called vampirism.
Cannibalism.
Oh, well, never mind.
Cannibals, officially sanctioned cannibalism.
Oh, Jesus, I get so tired of it. Oh, now I've pissed off 100 million Catholics tonight. Sorry.
I'd like to swing it back to your
sure.
earlier topic of the evening, the cartoons and the hypocrisy and the double standard of putting David Irving in jail for his ridiculous beliefs while allowing newspapers to run clearly provocative and insightful graphics in their newspapers, not only allowing them but basically cheering them to do so. I think it's easy for us here in the West, in Europe and the United States, to laugh at those crazy Muslims for going bat poop crazy over a bunch of frankly mediocre cartoons,
mm-hmm.
because we aren't the ones being blasted into bloody chunks by the dozens on a daily basis in this neocon crusade that's going on over there. But for a lot of those people, unlike us, their religion is pretty much all they have. Their faith is the only thing they've got going for them. Their lives are a game of survivor played under shifting rules, that all but guarantee that they'll always be on the losing end. And maybe, if they lived in a state of total distraction like we do,
right.
With our 24 hours of crap being beamed into our heads from 1,000 channels, 24 hours a day, from plasma screen mind control devices in our living rooms,
mm.
between the SUV trips to the local junk food dispenser where we get to shove Big Macs and Mars bars down our throats.
You're making me hungry.
Yeah, they'd be as timid and complacent as we are.
Yes. Yes.
But as it is, those cartoons, they seem to, I'm an absolutist when it comes to free speech. I think that they should have been allowed to be published. But I do think that they did cross the line a bit into pure provocation. And that basically this newspaper, this I can't even pronounce the name of it, the Derhurven Degurgle thing, sounds like the Swedish chef. But they were shouting fire in a crowded prison camp, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
As for David Irving, I don't agree with him, and I don't agree with the prison sentence. I think they're both ridiculous. You know, but I think that by putting him in jail, the Austrian courts just gave his crackpot beliefs a whole new cachet with a whole lot of people.
Oh, sure, sure. You know, there are probably thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of youth in unemployed youth, white people, unemployed youth in Europe now, who all of a sudden are going to anoint this sick bastard as some sort of a hero.
Yeah.
Look for these little German skinhead organizations and skinhead organizations in the rest of Europe, whether it's even in England, to all of a sudden start to flourish. They'll have membership drives over this.
Mm-hmm. Russia's the big ground zero for the skinhead and white supremacist movement right now. There's about 35,000 hardcore white supremacists in Europe, and about 30,000 of them are in Russia, Belarus, and Ukraine.
Yeah.
But the hardcore, that's the hardcore. There's lots of sympathizers, as we can tell from the reactions to these cartoons. But I just one last thing I'd like to throw at
sure.
you, Mike. I wonder how our evangelical brothers and sisters would like it if America were to pass a law making it a jailable offense to deny the scientific reality of evolution.
Yeah, well, be careful now. Be careful now. You're approaching at warp speed reason and logic, and that's not allowed in the United States of America in 2006.
Yeah, we're in the death throes of the age of reason, I fear.
I think so. I think some of those French philosophers are spinning,
mm-hmm.
wherever they are. No, I take it back. You can't spin when you're dead. All right, well, listen, thanks a lot, Jerky. Good to hear from you.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, take care. Take care. Philip, who is calling in from San Diego. Philip, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hi, Mike. I want to start by spreading a little of that love George was talking about.
Go ahead.
That love. I read someplace that you and Kathy are having a 9th anniversary.
Yeah, today was the day, the 23rd of February, 9 years, 9 years together, married. We've been together actually closer to 11, but married for 9.
Well, congrats to both of you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you
and
very
I hope
much.
That,
you're very kind.
The wine afterwards will be really special, huh?
Well, we're going to wait and celebrate this weekend. When we get out of here at night, you know, I have a glass of wine just to bring my blood pressure down and, you know, just try to unwind. But, no, we're going to go out Saturday night, Kathy. We're going to go out and dance and have a good time and you know, do what you do here in the South when it's your anniversary.
You're going to pick fleas off each other. No, actually, Saturday night we're going to meet a bunch of evil Democratic underground.
Oh, that's right,
people.
The DU people, Saturday night, Sunday night.
At Sunday night we're going to an undisclosed location.
Right, now that's absolutely not why Philip called in. But anyway, thank you, Philip.
Well,
I appreciate
Jerky just stole my thunder on the other subject, so I'll bring up another one today that I want to talk about. They put out their own federal response to Hurricane Katrina, lesson learned report today.
Yeah, they did.
And, of course, the vampire was sitting there with Bush. The part of it that got to me, though, was the Pentagon should have a clearer role in responding to future disasters like Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah, right.
Said in the report. And my first impression of that, well, the first word that came to my mind was martial law.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. That's what's heading our way. I'm surprised they didn't kick it in when the Katrina disaster occurred.
Well, now they're finding a nice way to stick it in there.
Yeah, well, it's...
With their nice little report. And these comments by him today, you love your neighbor. You know, all these people that were standing there applauding for him about loving your neighbor and all that good stuff. Well, in South Dakota... They passed the law on an abortion ban. That's coming up. So, you know, love your neighbor if it's an embryo. Plus, the Christian Taliban is out running around fighting against gay adoptions and gay marriage once again, too. So, you know, loving the neighbor only goes so far with these people.
Well, tell me the difference between a Christian fundamentalist in this country and Muslim fundamentalists in, pick a city or pick a country. How about the United Arab Emirates? You know, somebody tell me the difference. There is none. There is none. They're all the same. Just slightly different flavors. Hey, Philip, thanks. I got a boogie. Appreciate your call, sir. We'll be right back.
The people got to go.
levee breaks, flood on top. Waters start to swirl, Superdome, you have to be home. To the folks, all the ones, Georgie dreamed that they were gone.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
I'm concerned about my son Jesse's height. He's small for a 15-year-old.
Have you tried Height Max?
What's that?
Height Max is a new height-enhancing supplement that helps 12 to 25-year-olds maximize their growth potential. It's a patented blend of vitamins, herbs, and amino acids, and you don't need a prescription.
How do I order Height Max?
Call them direct at 1-877-GROW-TALL. There is a 30-day risk-free offer going on now.
Ah, that's easy. 1-877-GROW-TALL.
Or buy it on the web at heightmax.com.
Order today and grow taller with Height Max. Height Max is a subsidiary of Sunny Health Nutrition Technology.
More coffee, mister?
Yes, please. Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hot coffee all over you. Let me get some paper towels and some cold water. Are you all right?
Why, I'm just fine, young lady. It's just scalding coffee.
Mister, you must be gelling.
That's why I'm not yelling, even though there's considerable redness and swelling.
More gel, more gelling. New and improved Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. More cushioning. Totally outrageous comfort. To start gelling like never before, see the doctor, Dr. Scholl's.
Waitress, how about some more coffee?
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
To the city's own. Don't you dare to try to stop us. No one could belong. Searchlight on my truck.
system's failed. 21 past the hour. Ron in Fort Wayne sent this to me about Bush's appearance in Mishawaka, Indiana, where we had that one quote where he's talking about loving on. You got love on. I don't know. Anyway, he was at the Bethel College in Mishawaka. His main reason, of course, for the visit was to raise money for Chris Chocolate, who's running for a third term in Congress. Now what is this is a religious school. It's a Christian, evangelical Christian college. And while he's there, he talks about how it's necessary to continue murdering people in Iraq. And of course, the Christian evangelicals at this particular convocation applaud him. This is another reason I just hate the hypocrisy of religion. It's just clotting. It sticks in my throat. He said the killing in Iraq has to continue. He didn't use the word killing. He never does. He says U.S. must continue fighting till Iraqis are trained well enough to fight themselves. Only he means that literally, fight themselves, as in fight each other, which is what's going on. The country is now in a full-blown civil war. Anybody but the most brain-dead Bush supporter would understand what they have caused in Iraq. But this is interesting that Ron sent. The luncheon was attended by 560 people. It raised $600,000, which works out to what? About $1,000 a piece? Well, it says it costs $500 a person it costs $500 a person to attend. Now, these are Christian evangelicals. And $4,000 a person to have a picture taken with Bush. Now I don't know. I don't know Mishawaka, Indiana from Mishawaka, Florida, but I would think that there are probably a lot of people in that area, poor people. You know, the kind of people that Jesus hung out with, who could have used $600,000 for what? Well, let's see, that would build 10 $60,000 homes. Oh, gee, never mind. Outside Bush's visit at Bethel College, about 400 people protested the visit. Good for you all. Good for you. As many outside almost as inside. But for you good evangelical Christians over there at Bethel College in Mishawaka, Indiana, that raised $600,000 for a mass killer, a mass murderer, how does it feel? Is that what Jesus would do? If your Messiah, your Savior, the one through whom you must go in order to get to heaven, if he had attended, would he have contributed $4,000 to have his picture taken with a mass murderer? You think? Man. It's just incredible. Just incredible. All right, back to your phone calls. Thanks, Ron, for sending that to me. Jesus, what does the spiffamogamer say right now? What's the thing with the blood pressure? Spiffamogamer. What do you call it?
Consigliere.
No, what is the thing on my arm here?
Spectrosphagmometer.
Thank you. What is it up to now? 220 over 140? No.
Consigliere.
No, I don't have a spiglamophimer on my arm. I really don't. I take lisinopril, so it's okay. It really is. I appreciate all the people who think I'm going to have a stroke, but, you know, I really am not, you know. And I will never commit suicide. So, anyway. Where are we? Oh, okay, here we are. Matt is calling from Madison, Wisconsin. Matt, welcome to the program. You know I'm going to be in your city in about three weeks.
Thanks. Good. I was going to talk about that.
Yeah, you're not the least bit impressed with that, are you?
No, I'm just kidding. I was going to talk about that idiot Lieberman, but, oh, this Irvin thing is more important. My opinion, actually, ironically, what you said about Irvin's lawsuit, I already knew about that.
About David Irving.
Yeah, David Irving.
Right.
I saw not the original. I didn't see it on TV. I saw got the video from the library, and I saw, you know, a partial reenactment of the trial. Well, David Irving is, of course, a hypocrite because, of course, now he's being jailed for saying the Holocaust. Well, he's being silenced, and he tried to use the legal system to silence someone who simply pointed out the obvious that he was a Holocaust denier. Well, interestingly, I saw Noam Chomsky's about a couple of months ago, I saw Noam Chomsky's video, Manufacturing Consent. And he dealt with another Holocaust denier from France. I think the idiot's last name was Lassau, but who cares what his name was. But the thing is, don't turn these people into martyrs. Don't turn Irvin and these other morons into martyrs.
Well, that's an excellent point. And in doing this, if everybody were just quiet, I think eventually, someday, somebody would just very quietly walk up to David Irving on a side street someplace, slip a very long, thin ice pick between his fourth and fifth rib, slide it out, and walk away, and it would all be over. Hey, listen, I have to leave it there. Thanks, Matt. I appreciate you checking in.
Of darkness any longer.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
I'm a woman. I like things like movies with dialogue and sweater sets. I like hot cocoa on a rainy day. I like the word cocoa. But most of all, I like my big fat hog. Which is why I have Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Geico covers most kinds of bikes and has money-saving discounts. Geico. That's nice.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
I thought you were done with our taxes.
I am, but now TurboTax can help us get even more from our tax refund.
Really?
Yeah. With TurboTax, we can use all or part of our refund for gift cards with a bonus of 10%, 20%, or more at over 50 major retailers.
Wow.
We can get more from the places where we'd spend our money anyway.
A bonus on top of our refund? I'm thinking power tools.
Or some new shoes.
DVD player.
Dinner out.
Barbecue grill.
New laptop.
Vacation.
Ugh, vacation.
Please apply. Learn more at TurboTax.com.
Do you know the power of financial empowerment? Ambassador Andrew Young, humanitarian and educator, has teamed with Operation Hope founder John Bryant to help eradicate poverty through financial literacy education. Mr. Bryant, how is Operation Hope meeting this challenge?
To empower 5 million youth in 5 years in financial literacy.
Ambassador Young, what's your role in financial literacy education?
Well, I came up with Martin Luther King in the Civil Rights Movement. And now we're trying to develop a civil rights movement. Young people in the system of free enterprise and capitalism need to understand money and how it works. It takes an army of volunteers, business leaders, educators, the entire community. We need the community's help.
If you need financial hope, we're here to help you. Call Operation Hope at 877-592-HOPE. That's 877-592-HOPE. Or visit us online at OperationHope.org.
We'll be right back.
It's about 26 before the hour. Kathy told me earlier today to check out this website, and I went and checked it out. And, you know, I don't do commercials. But, well, wait a minute, I did that thing for the game, for the Bush, I hate Bush game, whatever the hell it is. That's more of a public service thing. I don't get paid for that. I don't get paid for this either. But I want to see this website, and I want you to go check it out. It's called PinkoButtons.com. Pinko, you know, P-I-N-K-O, PinkoButtons.com. This is a Chicago artist named Mo Cahill. And when you get to the website, PinkoButtons.com, click on Index and take a look at the buttons. Just drag your cursor over the names of the buttons. Holy God! This person has come up with some really cool stuff. Check it out, all right? PinkoButtons.com. Have more or less reached a milestone with a reading in 1984. We are finished part one. We are entering part two, chapter one, or if you tell time the other way, this is chapter nine, George Orwell's 1984. It was the middle of the morning, and Winston had left the cubicle to go to the lavatory. A solitary figure was coming toward him from the other end of the long, brightly lit corridor. It was the girl with the dark hair. 4 days had gone past since the evening when he had run into her outside the junk shop. As she came nearer, he saw that her right arm was in a sling, and not noticeable at a distance because it was of the same color as her overalls. Probably she had crushed her hand while swinging round one of the big kaleidoscopes on which the plots of novels were roughed in. It was a common accident in the fiction department. They were perhaps 4 meters apart when the girl stumbled and fell almost flat on her face. A sharp cry of pain was wrung out of her. She must have fallen right on the injured arm. Winston stopped short. The girl had risen to her knees. Her face had turned a milky yellow color, against which her mouth stood out redder than ever. Her eyes were fixed on his with an appealing expression that looked more like fear than pain. A curious emotion stirred in Winston's heart. In front of him was an enemy who was trying to kill him. In front of him also was a human creature in pain, perhaps with a broken bone. Already he had instinctively started forward to help her. In the moment when he had seen her fall on the bandaged arm, it had been as though he felt the pain in his own body. "You're hurt?" he said.
"It's nothing. My arm. I'll be all right in a second."
She spoke as though her heart were fluttering. She had certainly turned very pale. "You haven't broken anything?"
"No, I'm all right. It hurt for a moment, that's all."
She held out her free hand to him, and he helped her up. She had regained some of her color and appeared very much better.
"It's nothing,"
she repeated shortly.
"I only gave my wrist a bit of a bang. Thanks, comrade."
And with that, she walked on in the direction in which she had been going as briskly as though it had really been nothing. The whole incident could not have taken as much as half a minute. Not to let one's feelings appear in one's face was a habit that had acquired the status of an instinct. And in any case, they had been standing straight in front of a telescreen when the thing happened. Nevertheless, it had been very difficult not to betray a momentary surprise, for in the 2 or 3 seconds while he was helping her up, the girl had slipped something into his hand. There was no question that she had done it intentionally. It was something small and flat. As he passed through the lavatory door, he transferred it to his pocket and felt it with the tip of his fingers. It was a scrap of folded paper. While he stood at the urinal, he managed with a little more fingering to get it unfolded. Obviously, there must be a message of some kind written on it. For a moment, he was tempted to take it into one of the water closets and read it at once, but that would be shocking folly, as he well knew. There was no place where you could be more certain that the telescreens were watching continuously. He went back to his cubicle, sat down, threw the fragment of paper casually among the other papers on the desk, put on his spectacles, and hitched the speakerite toward him. 5 minutes, he told himself. 5 minutes at the very least. His heart bumped in his breast with frightening loudness. Fortunately, the piece of work he was engaged on was mere routine, the rectification of a long list of figures not needing close attention. Whatever was written on the paper, it must have been some kind of political meaning. So far as he could see, there were two possibilities. One, much the more likely, was that the girl was an agent of the Thought Police, just as he had feared. He did not know why the Thought Police should choose to deliver their messages in such a fashion, but perhaps they had their reasons. The thing that was written on the paper might be a threat, a summons, an order to commit suicide, a trap of some description. But there was another, wilder possibility that kept rising in his head, though he tried vainly to suppress it. This was that the message did not come from the Thought Police at all, but from some kind of underground organization. Perhaps the Brotherhood existed after all. Perhaps the girl was part of it. No doubt the idea was absurd, but it had sprung into his mind in the very instant of feeling the scrap of paper in his hand. It was not till a couple of minutes later that the other, more probable explanation had occurred to him. And even now, though his intellect told him that the message probably meant death, still, that was not what he believed, and the unreasonable hope persisted, and his heart banged, and it was with difficulty that he kept his voice from trembling as he murmured his figures into the speakwrite. He rolled up the completed bundle of work and slid it into the pneumatic tube. 8 minutes had gone by. He readjusted his spectacles on his nose, sighed, and drew the next batch of work toward him with the scrap of paper on top of it. He flattened it out. On it was written in a large, unformed handwriting, "I love you." For several seconds, he was too stunned even to throw the incriminating thing into the memory hole. When he did so, although he knew very well the danger of showing too much interest, he could not resist reading it once again, just to make sure that the words were really there. For the rest of the morning, it was very difficult to work. What was even worse than having to focus his mind on a series of niggling jobs was the need to conceal his agitation from the telescreen. He felt as though a fire were burning in his belly. Lunch in the hot, crowded, noise-filled canteen was torment. He had hoped to be alone for a little while during the lunch hour, but as luck would have it, the imbecile Parsons flopped down beside him, the tang of his sweat almost defeating the tinny smell of stew, and kept up the stream of talk about the preparations for Hate Week. He was particularly enthusiastic about a papier-mâché model of Big Brother's head, 2 meters wide, which was being made for the occasion by his daughter's troop of spies. The irritating thing was that, in the racket of voices, Winston could hardly hear what Parsons was saying, and was constantly having to ask for some fatuous remark to be repeated. Just once he caught a glimpse of the girl at a table with 2 other girls at the far end of the room. She appeared not to have seen him, and he did not look in that direction again. The afternoon was more bearable. Immediately after lunch, there arrived a delicate, difficult piece of work, which would take several hours and necessitated putting everything else aside. It consisted in falsifying a series of production reports of 2 years ago in such a way as to cast discredit on a prominent member of the inner party, who was now under a cloud. This was the kind of thing that Winston was good at, and for more than 2 hours he succeeded in shutting the girl out of his mind altogether. Excuse me, and then the memory of his face came back, and with it a raging, intolerable desire to be alone. Until he could be alone, it was impossible to think this new development out. Tonight was one of his nights at the community center. He wolfed down another tasteless meal in the canteen, hurried off to the center, took part in the solemn foolery of a discussion group, played 2 games of table tennis, swallowed several glasses of gin, and sat for 30 minutes through a lecture entitled "Ingsoc in Relation to Chess." His soul writhed with boredom, but for once he had had no impulse to shirk his evening at the center. At the sight of the words, "I love you," the desire to stay alive had welled up in him, and the taking of minor risks suddenly seemed stupid. It was not till 23 hours, when he was home and in bed in the darkness, where you were safe even from the telescreen so long as you kept silent, that he was able to think continuously. It was a physical problem that had to be solved. How to get in touch with the girl and arrange a meeting. He did not consider any longer the possibility that she might be laying some kind of trap for him. He knew that it was not so, because of her unmistakable agitation when she handed him the note.
Hi, hi, hi.
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
I'm so glad you got tickets to this concert.
Yeah, definitely. These guys put on a killer show.
Great, let's go.
Wait, it's just the open band. Let's get a little stone first. It's crazy strong. Here you go.
This is the moment your guidance can prevent your teen from smoking marijuana. So visit theantidrug.com and learn how to set clear rules about drugs. Parents, the anti-drug. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Know the greatest phrase ever invented in shopping? No, it's not, I'll just wait in the car. The greatest phrase is, no thanks, I'm just looking. I mean, what freedom, what liberation. What a great way to buy car insurance. In fact, why not do some looking right now? Go to GEICO.com. It's quick, it's easy, and you could save hundreds. You know, saving money looks good on you. GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Whoa!
sorry. I just
like it.
From Amy, the uppity witch, and Hal, the mad bassist. Congrats to you and Kathy. Enjoy your evening out. My Hal and I just celebrated 9 years together on the 12th. Rita Rudner once said that marriage is when you have picked the person you want to spend the rest of your life driving crazy. Chris Rock said that it isn't love if you don't think about killing them once in a while. And I would add this. But then they turn around and do something to remind you why you fell in love with them to begin with. Then you just can't kill them. Otherwise, they're right. Mazel tov, Amy the uppity witch, and Hal the mad bassist. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it. The program tonight was engineered in New York by Justin Yuen and our resident rock star Jason Isaac. D. Neal is our associate producer in New York City. Chris in Minnesota. Our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, our webmaster, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, archives the program. And let me suggest that you drop a few bucks on Ben Birch, White Rose Society. You don't want to lose that resource, I'm telling you. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Catherine Bay, our executive producer. Sanchez is calling from Montebello, California. Sanchez, thanks for holding on.
Well, good evening, Mike, and happy anniversary
to both of you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I'll make my comments real quick here. I wanted to comment about this morning's issuance of the Katrina report by the White House. In total there, they have 125 recommendations, and 11 of them are supposed to be all critical changes. And my observations on this are basically similar to the recommendations that were made about a year and a half ago by the 9/11 Commission, and how many of those were actually implemented. This is going to wind up being the prop on the wobbly chair in the corner of the Oval Office there. They're really going to basically do nothing. And to give you one last example of how they don't follow the reports, let's go back to a month before the Iraqi war started. Do you remember the Future Iraq report?
How wonderful it was going to be?
Well, actually, they were warning of impending problems, meaning like the urban guerrilla warfare and also the virtual civil war, like we're having with the bombing of the mosque here the day before yesterday.
Right.
These were all things that were predicted by the Future Iraq report. Not Rumsfeld, not Bush, not Cheney, not a single one of them read the report, even though it was commissioned by their administration. You know, this is the only job where you get the White House is the only job where you get on-the-job training for 6 years, and you're still screwing up.
Right.
I mean, under and be charged with criminal neglect at least. So
well,
I don't know. I don't have optimistic views for this Katrina report. And again, these were all recommendations that were all in place prior to their dismantling of this whole thing. I mean, Even a few years even before Katrina hit, on PBS there was I believe it was Nova that had the documentary concerning the impending disaster with the levees because they weren't funding it. These people knew ahead of time what was going on, and yet
sure.
they ignore everything. And you know, personally, I'm getting sick and tired of paying for their mistakes.
Well, we're going to be paying for the mistakes for decades to
yep.
come. There's just no way to get around it. But you make some good points. Thanks, Sanchez.
Again, happy anniversary to you guys.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Appreciate it very much. Very kind of you. Chris is calling from New Mexico. Is this Chris from Abiquiu?
Yes, actually it is, Michael.
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, I've come to realize that you are the canary in my coal mine. You are. As dismayed and soul-sick as I am to understand that there are actual honest-to-God fascists running my country.
Yeah.
When I turn on the radio and there is Michael snarling and stuttering and spitting and calling people sons of bitches, I'm not so scared. There's a cushion. Because no offense, dude, but they really are going to get you first.
I know
okay.
they are.
You know, so I'm kind of, but that brings up another problem that we've talked about. When you really get going, one of the hoses in the hybrid engine that is your brain is going to go, and we here in Radio Land are going to hear, and that's it. Maybe the sound of your forehead smacking the desk, but aside from that, we're bereft. You know, as we've spoken before, I'm a student of history. The one thing I could never get my mind around, the one thing I could never intellectually just get to a gestalt, was the phenomenon of the good German in the late 30s.
Yeah, yeah.
And now I feel like such a BB-stacking moron because it is so clear.
It is. You know, I so agree with that.
How it happens, how it is the flow of it. It's scary. It's really scary. Anyway, the best to you, to yours.
Thanks,
Bruce. And I'll talk to you later.
All right. Well, don't be alarmed if that popping sound, you never hear it, okay?
I hope not.
Take care. Chris from Abiquiu, New Mexico, who had his time in the barrel. He was a talk show host for a while.
Santa Fe Sunsets on KTRC, and I know everyone out there does miss that.
That's right. That was his program. Yeah, yeah. Do we have some really? Okay. Joseph is calling from Anchorage, Alaska. Joseph, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. I heard you yesterday, and you were great. And today you got better. I don't know how do you do that?
I drink a lot.
All right. Now, your problem with religion, I have the same problem.
Yeah.
Your problem with the intolerance of the cartoons and all the things, I have the same problem.
Yeah.
What can we do about it? We can teach people to think about thinking.
There you go.
How late is it in our educational system that one of our students would come up against a class in which that sentence would be spoken? Late in our educational system. It should be taught in kindergarten.
Mm-hmm. You're right. You're absolutely right.
If you would think about thinking, you'd never get caught up in these religious myths that have to fill some of the question marks in our mind.
That is so true. Joseph, I have to leave it there. Thank
you. I know the timing. When you want to talk about 9/11, my cousin was a fireman in the South Tower. I got a lot to tell you.
All right. We'll talk about it again. Thanks, Joseph. Take care. You have a good night. And thanks, everybody, for participating tonight. We do appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow night. All right? Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Mike Malloy, and if you're as sick of the Bush crime family as I am, you need to visit ImpeachBushGame.com. And when you get there, you're going to find the board game that's taking America by storm, Impeached. Whether you play games or not, Impeached is a must-have item that serves as a constant reminder by exposing the crimes, the greed, and the stupidity of George W. and his hoodlum cohorts. ImpeachBushGame.com only offers anti-Bush merchandise, including the Bush Voodoo Doll. Buy your game today at ImpeachBushGame.com.
There were dark days of tax preparation, my friends, where you had to run around, get forms, or go to a franchise tax store and pay through the nose. But those days are over. There's this thing called the Internet and this website called TurboTax.com. Now you don't go to your taxes. Your taxes come to you. TurboTax asks you simple questions and fills out all the right forms. It checks for errors and calculations are guaranteed accurate. Now that's what I call progress. Learn more at TurboTax.com.